I'm grateful that we get to gather together in the Lord's house and celebrate him and be together this morning. I want to thank you for being faithful to the ministry of this church and to seeing what God has in store for us as we move into the next season. I'm at this point going to turn it over to Brooks McElhaney from the Michigan Ministry Network. Love Brooks, love his ministry, and just love his southern wisdom. And we're just grateful for him. Would you welcome him as he comes this morning?
Good morning. Well, good morning, church. You are alive and well, alive in Jesus. You're here, so that's really good, really good. It's so good to have the privilege of joining you. My wife would have been here today, but how many have family dynamics that happen in your home? Yeah, my wife, we have six children ourselves and 14 grandchildren, and I just got old somehow, and I don't know how, but I did. And my wife is in Grand Rapids this morning with one of our daughters whose husband is with his family because of an issue, and she's on staff at Grand Rapids First and just needed a little help because she's got one of our newest grandbabies, and so she would have loved to have been here with me, but we're going to survive anyway.
Amen. I got you.
Y'all make church too serious. Listen, we always live to sacred in everything we do, but we live in the world, but we're not of it. Amen? So laughter, God created it, by the way. And so enjoy laughter, all right? Amen. It is my distinct honor and privilege to be here with you this morning to celebrate with you as I have the joy of celebrating with you your new pastor, Pastor Brandon Cross and his wife, Julianne. And also our superintendent, Aaron Halavin, sends his greetings to the entire church and to you, Pastor Grant Brandon, and saying congratulations. I know he's been your pastor here for a few weeks and almost a month or so, and you say, well, why are we having this day? Because I believe it's important for us to establish moments that are memorable. There are places where you build altars that you come back to and say, that was an important time that we needed. So I want to go to God's word this morning because we need to hear what God has to say. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if not, the scriptures will be on the screen. But you can go to Acts chapter 13. The setting of this text today is the church in Antioch. It's where we're told about people who were leading the church. So let me read it to you. Acts chapter 13. Let's start with verses 1 through 4. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, is that not something we need to be more conscious of, is not just worshiping the Lord, but church, we've been called to fast. I won't spend a lot of time there, but church, I believe that prayer and fasting and worship is all still tied together to demonstrate our hearts toward God. But while they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Verse 3. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the living word. I believe it is still active to change our lives. I believe it has power to speak to our hearts and our minds as we surrender to it, to change us. Lord, to work in us, to show us your work. Lord, speak to our hearts today. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And Pastor Dennis, good to see you this morning. God bless you. Glad you're here with us this morning. In the passage we just read, we are given the names of those who were leaders at this church in Antioch. The Bible identifies them once again as Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. They were all considered, somehow he called them prophets and teachers that gave structure and guidance to the church that is in Antioch. Now these prophets and teachers are seeing the move of God happening right there in Antioch. God was building an incredible church. In fact, that's where they were first called what? Christians, acting like little Christ. They looked like Jesus. They were also being used by God in the church and in the community. But they weren't settled with just what God was doing there, so they're fasting, they're praying, saying, God, what are you wanting to do? Because they believed that God had greater things for them in the church at Antioch to do. I believe God's got greater things that he wants to do in this community. I believe God's got greater things he wants to do in this community. Church, you've got to begin to believe that and know that because you are the leaders that God wants to work through. Now, you need to know when the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God for it to be written to us, the Holy Spirit did not use words aimlessly. You understand? The five men that are mentioned here in Acts 13, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul, why are they there? Why is this so important? Holy Spirit, why list these men? What can we glean from these names that are mentioned here? First, I want you to see this is going to be a very diverse church. First, there's Barnabas. Who's Barnabas? Well, he was a Levite. He was of the tribe of Levi. He was born, though, in Cyprus. His given name was Joseph. He got nicknamed Barnabas, the encourager, from the apostles back in Acts 4, verse 36. This is what we read in that verse. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Barnabas is someone you have to understand would have understood Greek culture that was going on in Antioch because of where he was born, even though he is a Hebrew Levite. Then we have Simeon, who is called Niger. Actually, the word Niger means black. In fact, this Simeon could very well be the same person that carried the cross of Jesus, because Simeon and Simon are alternate spellings of the same name, and many of the scholars believe that this is the same one who carried the cross of Jesus. He comes to faith and now is a part of the church in Antioch. Next, we have Lucius. He is from Cyrene, which is the same place that Simeon, who is called Niger, had come from. Luke tells us that Cyrene is located in northern Africa. So we have two Africans in the church at Antioch. Next, we have Manaen. The scripture tells us he's brought up with Herod Antipas. Scholars think that he was a foster brother to Herod. What's interesting about Manaen is that he would have been brought up with Roman influence, okay, even though he would have had Jewish practices, making this group of men a very diverse group. And the last one mentioned is Saul, who we know was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He used to be the key leader in the Jewish religion. In that role, he was against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told that Saul is from Tarsus. Now, let me put up a map, because I just kind of want you to see this so you can see where they came from. So we have Antioch right here. Okay, so then we have Barnabas, who is from Cyprus. Not very far, but is now located in this city because God's got something he's about to do. Then we have Cyrene. You can see that is where Lucius and Simeon would have been from Africa. Here's Africa, this region here. And here they are across over in Antioch. Then you have Manaen, who is over here with the Roman Empire, understanding, but he probably was from Jerusalem area, but with the influence of Rome in Jerusalem. But now is in Antioch. Then we have Saul. This is the Tarsus Mountains. Tarsus is located right in there. And now Saul, who we know as Paul, right, is now all in Antioch. This is a multicultural church. You understand that when you begin to study it. With that being true, it had to have a welcoming spirit about it. Church, you need to have a welcoming spirit. I would invite all of you to come just a little earlier and be greeters. Because you need a welcoming church for those who might come into the community. They're looking for somebody who says, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're here. And I believe this church is a welcoming church. And I ask you to continue to be a welcoming church. Did you know, church, we need people like Barnabas in our church? Kind, generous, encouraging. You know, do you have Barnabas in the church? I know you do. We need Simeons in the church. People who, like, he carried the cross, but he had been to Calvary. I hope that every one of us have been to Calvary. And we have knelt our knee and bowed before the King of Kings. Amen? Because we know he is Lord. We need people like Lucius, willing to go, God, wherever you call me, I'll go. Like Manaen, not trapped by your upbringing, right? And people like Saul, who became known as Paul, who allowed God to work an incredible transformation. Like Pastor Brandon, like me, like Pastor Dennis, like all of you. God is at work in us. We always need to be willing, by the way, church, remind you that you need to be willing to tell your story of what God has done in your life. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It is something to celebrate. Tell people your story. So with a little bit of background in this key passage, I want to cover some key principles this morning. I want you to observe three sets of statements that are in our text. And the first set is found in verses 2 and 3. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, in verse 3, so after they had fasted and prayed. I'm going to call this communion. It's not the communion that we necessarily partake of, but it's really part of that, in that communion, and I'll talk about it in a moment, is communing with the Lord. The second set of statements is found in verses 2 and 3. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. And verse 3, they placed their hands on them. This I'm going to call consecration. The third set is found in verses 2 and 3 and 4. It says, for the work to which I have called them and sent them off and sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to call that commission. Communion, consecration, commission. But let me start with the very first word, communion. Today as we celebrate, we install your new pastor, Pastor Brandon Cross. The scriptures tell us this. While they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, so after they have fasted and prayed, so let me start with a question, who are they, right? Who are they? I believe they, in the passage, definitely speaking of the five, but it's also, I believe, all of those who had gathered together. I believe it speaks of the church that was praying. Now listen, I love it when the whole church worships together. I love when you lift your voice in music, but worship is a lifestyle, not an activity. We sing as part of our lifestyle, right? We pray as part of our lifestyle. And so church, while they're worshiping in their lifestyle and seeking the Lord and fasting so they could hear what the Lord's desire was, they were in communion with God. I wonder how often we really take time to commune with God. I'm finishing a book up right now on the Lord's Prayer, because I've called it Learning to Pray Again, because I believe that people have lost really the art of knowing how to pray. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, I think people blow through Scripture way too fast, and they miss the very first word of the Lord's Prayer, which he says, Our Father. Our. Do you know you're not alone? When you enter into prayer, you're entering in with other believers throughout the entire world. You are part of something much larger. In fact, you're a part of the family of God. Our Father. And it just changes your perspective. And this is the way Jesus says, they're saying, teach us. Well, he's teaching, but they're not learning. Church, I think we've turned prayer into about me instead of our. And I believe that God wants to do an R in this day. God wants to move in every nation, every tribe, every tongue, because there are people who still need to hear the gospel. Notice that Saul, better known to us as Paul, and Barnabas are also part of this group that is seeking God's direction. Know this, Paul and Barnabas are men of prayer. Pastors likewise need to be people of prayer. They need to know you have to seek God. You need to know you need that lifestyle of worship, and you need to stay in communion with God, Pastor Brandon. In this passage, we find Paul and Barnabas fasting, praying along with the other leaders, but they were simply praying and talking to God. Church, that's really what communion is. Communion is communing with God. This morning when we took what we call the Lord's Supper or communion, we were saying, Lord, I'm remembering you. Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, I want to praise you for your body. You gave everything. Thank you, Lord. You shed your blood, and without the blood being shed, there is no forgiveness of sin. I worship you. I praise you. I adore you. I need you more. Church, it's that kind of living, that kind of lifestyle that we commune with God. It's not just a ritual we do. It's communion with the Creator of the world and the Savior of your soul. Communing with our Father in heaven. Fasting, of course, is simply seeking God in a deeper way. Holding back the desires of the flesh. It's a biblical way for us to show our desire to hear from God. Again, prayer, praying. It's really the positioning of your heart and your life before God in a humble way. That's why we say, Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done. It's positioning my heart and saying, Lord, I step back, but I trust you, knowing his answer is always the best. Amen? In Scripture, back in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, I want you to hear what the apostles declared early on. Verse 4, they said, remember we had to take care of some needs in the church. This is what was going on. Hebraic Jews were being left behind, it felt like, and they needed to deal with it. But here's the key, verse 4, and we will give our attention to what? Prayer and ministry of the word. Pastor Brandon, that's a key to any minister's life in God. We have got to pray, and we've got to know that we minister the Word of God. There's always be needs in the church. Have you ever gone to a church that's not needy? Have you ever met anybody who's not needy? No. Don't point, please. Always going to be needs in the church. And we have to know the importance of prayer first, though. Staying close to God's word, because that's where our answers come from. Who is your provider? Who's your deliverer? Who's your helper? Is he not El Shaddai, the more than enough God? So we've got to stay close to God's word and hear his word. And we see this in scripture, that prayer and the study of God's word, it was considered the most important ministry of the early church. It has not changed. Pastor Brandon, as you take on this responsibility and the privilege of serving God's people, I encourage you, pray. Pray for God's direction. Pray for your family. Pray for the church family. Just continue to surrender your heart and your life to the will of God. And always long for his will to be done. Can you help me out, Pastor Brandon? Would you grab that orange and black stick? Anybody know what this is? What is it? It is a boat hook. That is exactly what it is. What if I took this? Let me see if I can do this. It extends. That's just kind of cool in itself. But what if I reached out for this? What would I be trying to do? Do you know what is the boat hook for? Speak up, whoever that was that knew what it was. I'm sorry? Either grabbing ropes or when you're docking into the shore so you don't bump, you can pull. It's used to lock into the dock and gently pull yourself into shore. Has multiple uses, but let me ask this. Do I pull the shore to me or do I pull the boat to the shore? Of course, I pull myself and the boat to the shore. In the same way, you need to understand, prayer is not about trying to pull God to my will. But that's what we do many times. It's like, Lord, you just seem so far away. Lord, maybe I can reach you and maybe, Lord, you'll just come my way. Please, Lord, please. But we have to understand that we do not pull, or God does not come to us in the sense that we pull him to us, but that we are pulling ourselves closer to him. Prayer is this thing that we've got to really understand, because we think it's so much about me, because look what I'm holding. And it's about the shore, because that's the place that is steady. That is the place where I can walk. That's the place I can go. That's the place I can live. The boat is just for a moment in our life. I need to get to his will. I need to know what's steady and what's firm and what's strong so that I can do what he's called me to do. For all of us, there's nothing more important in our life with Christ Jesus than prayer. You said, boy, you're hanging there a long time, because it's our lifeline. It's our lifeline to God. Prayer is the power behind our living. Prayer is the power behind your witnessing. Prayer is the means by which we take our burdens and our worries and our concerns to God. And I want to thank you as the body of Christ here in Brownstown, in this community. Thank you for your prayers as you've prayed for your church. And as a body of believers, you've asked God, God, guide us, direct us. And you had 27 years of great leadership, but you're in a place where you're saying, God, what's next? Because God doesn't do everything he does through one person. If so, we would have accomplished it by now. But God continues to work. That's why Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, tell you what, share this with other men. 2 Timothy 2:2. Share this with other men who will be faithful to share that. Four generations of sharing going on. And you would pray to believe that God answer our prayer. And that's why we're here today. Because we continue to desire God's word, and because we are installing a new leader for a new season for what God is going to do next. Pastor Brandon, stay in God's word and stay attuned to God's voice. Amen. You see, the church of Antioch knew this, and they were seeking God because they had to have the heartbeat of God. And that's because they understood the value of communion. I hope you will learn the value of communion. The second word I want to look at this morning is consecration. The scriptures declared this to us. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Verse 3, they placed their hands on them. The Greek word that's translated set apart is aphorizo. It means to distinguish from the others, to single out, or to separate for a special service. The Holy Spirit wants Paul and Barnabas for a special purpose. As they dedicated, they consecrated their lives to God. And the laying on of hands was an act of sanctification, a setting apart for a holy purpose. We see it actually throughout the Word of God. Even when the apostles prayed for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they laid their hands on them to receive the Spirit. They were being set apart by the Spirit for His purpose. Today, we are going to consecrate Pastor Brandon. We're going to lay hands on him at the end of the service. Because we believe the Holy Spirit is setting him apart. We do this for licensing and credentials and ordination, but you're the church doing a special purpose here. We believe God is setting him apart to do something in this community. And we're going to pray for God's impartation of wisdom and strength as you are set apart, you and your wife and your family, to blend with this family to do what God's family needs to do. Just remember, it is the Holy Spirit, though, who calls. It's the Holy Spirit that enables people to serve the church. So I remind you again, Pastor Brandon, walk in the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit and commune with God. Stay consecrated to God. And lastly, the word we need to fulfill is the Great Commission. You are not just on a mission, church. You are on a co-mission. This week, I had a thought, and I'm trying to pull it back here, but the church many times says, we're on a mission. And please forgive me if this sounds offensive, but I don't mean it to be. But I believe the church is not on a mission. It's God's mission has a church. I think so many times we've turned it into our mission, and it's God's mission, and His method is He's got a church to do it. Listen to verse 2 again. For the work to which I have called them. Verse 3, and set them off. And verse 4, set them on their way by the Holy Spirit. Pastor Brandon, again, God has called you first to Himself and then to the purpose of leading this church. You need to remember these are God's people. And you get the privilege of spending time with them, teaching them, leading them, but leading them into the days that are ordained for them. And I believe that God will continue to grow what He has started in this church many years ago. Just continue to help bring people to Jesus and then equip them to be like Him. Always remember your ministry is people, not programs. Preach the word. In season, out of season, there is no substitute for the word of God. There's no substitute for the move of the Spirit of God. For a moment, let me just speak to the church body. You've heard me speak to him. I want to encourage you, hunger for the Lord's direction in your personal, individual life. And then as together as a local body of believers, would you begin to believe for everything God has in store corporately for what he wants to do? I think we have desires, but I still believe there are thousands in this community who still need to hear the gospel. I believe there are thousands that God can still save and redeem. They just need to know the love of God, but they need to see it through you, the body. I want to remind you, don't get stuck on how things used to be. I know Pastor Dennis is here and his wife and family and great things and great seasons. I was in the day as a music minister where we had I had a choir of 72, had an orchestra of 30 people, and we had the musicals and the dramas and all of that. And there was a season for that. We're in a different season. I'm not saying it won't ever come around again, because you know how things cycle. You're wearing clothes that you know have changed and they've come back. But there are seasons we have to navigate culture and understand that. But two big statements people struggle with is, we've never done it that way. The other one, we've always done it that way. Could I ask you, be open to the move of the Holy Spirit. Stay open to the move of the Holy Spirit. God does do new things at times. Just allow Pastor Brandon Cross to be your pastor. The Holy Spirit will direct him. And remember, he is under authority as a minister of the gospel. And when he begins to share vision and direction, I'm asking you, church body, stand with him. And let him lead as the Holy Spirit is directing him. And by the way, Holy Spirit will confirm what he's doing. I can't tell you how important it is to lift up your pastor. You did that wonderfully during Pastor Dennis's journey here. But I'm asking you, move into the next of what God has. And remember, God's commands his blessing where there is unity. God commands. Do you really understand that scripture? God commands it, said, that will be blessed where there's unity. I pray God's favor. I pray his anointing will rest and rule and abide in this place. As we close the service today, I want to invite Pastor Brandon and Julianne to come forward. You just go ahead and step up. Probably I'll drop everything here. I don't mean to. There we go. Let's take our time. This is something we do traditionally when we're installing a pastor. But I want to take a moment, because I don't want to just say, here, God bless you, I hope it goes well. The shepherd's staff reminds us, first of all, that we are not the shepherd, we are the under-shepherd. The shepherd's staff, remember when the psalmist wrote, he said, your staff and your rod. There's two different things. The staff was always for rescuing and leading. It was not the rod that was used to beat off the enemy. This was to help guide the sheep and remind us. There's a little book called Psalm 23 from a shepherd's perspective. And one of the things he talks about, and when David is writing Psalm 23, he says, in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. One of the things we learn is that in the darkness that the shepherd writes, he said what he would do is in the nighttime, because the sheep can't see him necessarily with everything, that they would tap the rod on the ground, and the sheep could feel the vibration and just know, my shepherd's there. He's watching over us. I want you to know, you're going to feel at times the pounding, just the feel, just to know your shepherd cares for you. He's praying for you. He's lifting you before heaven. He'll be there at seasons and times of your life to have the celebration, but also in the hard times, because you're under shepherding. When a sheep lead him, he said, he leads me beside still waters. And it's one of these things that a sheep, when they are full of wool and they get near water, if the water's moving too fast and they go down, their wool could get wet and it'll pull them right in. I want you to have the peace that God wants you to have. And you need to know, as we pass this off, he is learning. We're all still learning the Word of God and activating the Word of God. But I want you to know, he's going to shepherd you. We're not perfect at it. There is no perfect pastor. Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry, Pastor Dennis. There just isn't. We're just people who have a call. And we're striving to fulfill that call with a body of believers that have a lot of opinions, a lot of great thoughts, but they need to be shepherded. One of my statements, I love brainstorming, but some storms need to blow over. As I pass this off to you today, because it was never mine. In fact, Pastor Dennis, I was going to invite you up. Would you and your wife go ahead and join me right now? Are you able? Pastor Corey, I don't know if I need a hand when he comes up the steps. And we're going to pray for you, Pastor Dennis, today. We're going to take a moment. Church, this is why we're here. Watch your step. Yeah. So, Pastor Brandon, and this is so important, church, to really understand this. Pastor Dennis, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you for all the years you poured in, the things you did. Nobody will ever know. But you're not the pastor anymore. Sometimes that's hard for pastors to understand, because they've poured so much in. But you have to release the people and the plan of God to another. And I'm going to ask you to pass that along to Pastor Brandon and pray for him. We're going to pray several times here. And I'll get close and maybe they can hear.
Father, early this morning, I ask you to fill us as the Woodland family with a supernatural love for Brandon and Julianne. God, that you would enable us to hold them up constantly before you in prayer. I asked you last night, Lord, that you would give to Julianne and Brandon grace. Grace and peace. that, Father, he would enjoy what Becky and I enjoyed for so many years, the love and the support of a congregation as we sought your face together for this community. I ask you, Lord, to fill their hearts with laughter, that they might enjoy the journey that they're beginning with the Woodland family. Jesus, I thank you that all of ministry is not a heavy burden, but Lord, it is a joy to lead and to shepherd and to pastor and to preach and to hear your voice as we prepare the word of the Lord. I ask you, God, for that anointing that I read about in Jeremiah that breaks yokes, removes bondages,
yes,
and shatters stones of opposition. I pray, Lord, for a double portion of your Holy Spirit upon Brandon and Julianne, and that the family will continue to flourish and grow, and this community, Lord, will be loved. Make him now what you gave me the privilege of being, the pastor to this community, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen,
amen. Amen, amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Julianne, we don't want to leave you out. You have to understand, when you blended your lives together, you also blended your purpose together. And we know that the Clantons, I mean, they poured their whole life into this. Today, I want to present to you a simple little necklace. It's a pearl. And I want you to remember the pearl of great price. It's worth giving everything for it. And that pearl is the lives of people, so they'll come to know Jesus. And that pearl just represents something that we give everything we've got, we pour in together so that we can find them in that field, because the field is ripe unto harvest. Amen. They're there. And just to remind you, as you work together, don't grow weary in doing good. Your work is not in vain. There's times he'll be called away, and I know you've got tons of children like me, and it's a challenge, but it's what God has called us to. But never forget why you serve his people. Amen. Amen. Y'all guys got so far back, but anyway. You say, well, that's for them, and that's great. But I have one more item I want to talk about, and this is to you. The church is like a ship, but it's a battleship. And a lot of times we end up calling this the captain's wheel. Actually, it's not called a captain's wheel. It's called the ship's wheel. It belongs to the body where God is taking it. And I want to speak to you as the body for a moment, because many times it's like, well, here's the wheel, go for it, Pastor. Where are we going? Where the captain of the ship many times only gives direction. There's someone else who actually stands at the ship's wheel and turns it here and there. By the way, the ship all needs cooks too. In fact, ladies, you've got an event coming, you need to bring snacks. We got to have those. But it's those activities. Somebody's got to swab the deck. Somebody's got to man the guns. Somebody's got to take care of all the different duties that happen on the ship. And it's a big ship. And it takes a lot of people. Whether you know or not, an aircraft carrier has 5,000 personnel to run that ship. There are some who have to fly missions, some who are sent out, different things. And so I'll hand this to your new pastor, but it's about the whole ship. It's all of you doing your part. Not just saying, we got a new pastor, go save everybody in our community. Go do everything the Lord has told you to do because he placed you here. He placed him here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's Bible. That's the Word of God. And you're going, well, I don't know what my giftings are. That's what they're here to help you develop and you figure out so you can deploy what God has put in you. God did not call you here just to sit in a pew. God called you here because you're part of the family of God and you're part of the ministry. And you are commissioned as well to go. And so I don't know where Pastor may put this, but I remind you, you're going to do it together. Not alone for him. Together. And when he says, hey, I need somebody to help turn the wheel. Pastor, I'm there. I'm ready. Use me. Because church is more than a single leader. It's a congregation. I want us to thank God, of course, for the years that Pastor Dennis and his wife, they poured in. Amen. I mean, they gave it all. Yep. Gave it all. And there, Pastor Brandon and his wife, they're going to give it all. I'm asking you now, give it all. You say, well, I'm nearing the end of my season. Not till you're dead. Our season is our lifetime. That's when we'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I know we love to see success. I know we love to see different things happen, but I want us to put our trust that God has a new day, a new time, a new pastor, and there may even be new people. There should be new people. Then you're going to walk alongside and you're going to help show them. They're going to be looking at your life because they are looking at your life and saying, what is this all about? So I want to end by doing a couple of things. I'm going to go ahead and prompt you just so you know. I want the board to first of all come, and we're going to gather around. I'm going to ask you to just go to the main floor, and I'll take those from you just so you don't have to manage that or hit somebody with it. Your board, come down here. We're going to gather around them. Your board in this season has been walking through this, and I sat with them a few times and just to navigate thoughts. But I want to thank you for serving. I thank you for leading through this time, and we trust that God has done what God's done for his glory. Pastor Corey and Pastor Mark, would you step up with us? I know you're taking pictures. Give it to somebody else. Hand it off. Somebody else, we need moments like this. You guys had to carry through a ship's time without a captain. And I want to say thank you, because your call is to support, to undergird, to be there. And I want to thank you. Would you just show your appreciation to your pastor staff? But I'm not going to leave it here. We're going to pray for Pastor Brandon. We're going to lay hands on him. But we're not just letting this leadership do it. I'm inviting every one of you. We're going to come to an altar. And we're going to consecrate ourselves. We're going to consecrate the days ahead. Because God's got something he wants to do. So would you come? And then here's what we'll do at the very end. At the end of the prayer, I want all of you to kind of get up here on stage and we're going to get a picture of the family of God with your new pastor. All right? So anyway, but would you come and join us? If you're visiting, I understand. You may need to step a little bit forward. And it's going to get crowded, and that's a good thing, because I hope heaven is crowded. Thank you, body. If you need to slip around here, you can. Just be careful of the steps. I'm stepping back because this is you. This is what God is calling you to. We're standing here at what we call the altar. The altar is where a sacrifice is given. And Paul writes it this way to the Roman church. He says, we are a living sacrifice. We're always dying to ourselves because we want the will of God to be done. I die daily, he says. We're going to have to die daily because your flesh, again, in the Lord's Prayer, when he writes it, lead us not, or says it, lead us not into temptation. That is an internal prayer first. I need you to lead me because my mind is prone to go places it shouldn't go. And then deliver me from the evil one. That's the external. And we already heard from Dennis when he prayed that God would just crush those stones of opposition. But we need to alter ourselves first and say, God, lead me. Lead me, and then lead us. So church, this is your day, not just his, not just Julianne. Not what God is just doing in their family. It's what God is doing in his family. Amen? So, I don't know, squeeze in. We'll get it. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for seasons and times where we have trusted you time and time again. And Lord, you have been faithful. Lord, so many times we can only see our lifetime, but Lord, throughout history, you have allowed the church to continue to exist so it can find lost people and see them saved, to be found. And Lord, I just pray for an anointing upon Pastor Brandon and Julianne. I pray that you would anoint him as he's praying and he's studying your word and preparing it for the people of God, that Lord, it comes not just from education, but Lord, that it comes from anointing. It comes from your heart. And Lord, that you would speak it so clearly that, Lord, application would be easy. And Lord, I pray for this body as they gather together here. Lord, we sacrifice ourselves again to what is ahead. Lord, that we will die to ourselves so that we can see others come to know you and know the grace of God and the mercy of God. Thank you for giving it to us. Now let us be representatives, ambassadors of heaven, that we would reflect that kind of mercy and grace to any and everyone you would put here. Lord, your will be done. Lord, your kingdom come and be established. Lord, that you get the glory, you get the honor, you get the praise. We exalt no one else than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and our soon coming King. To you be all the glory and honor and praise. To you be the power that you want to work through your church. So Lord, have your way, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If we need to figure out a way, I'm going to move all this. and then I'll step down and take the picture. Because I want everybody that's part of the body. Yeah, let's move it back. All right. Okay. Good for now. I think that's good. So gather around here. I want to at least make sure your face is seen. Because we're going to commemorate some new days. Amen. God bless you. All right. It'll be a great group picture. I got it. All right. Yeah. Pastor Dennis, somewhere you're in there. Where are you? Oh, way over there. Would you mind just stepping up with them? All right. Amen. All right. Now, I'm not going to desecrate, but to do this well, there we go. All right. Here we are. Good. I got everybody. I'm just trying to make sure we get all the faces. All right. Wow, what a church. Amen. All right. Here we go. I'm going to count to 100. No. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And there's several. I hope everybody's smiling. There we go. Amen. Hold up. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace in the mighty name of Jesus our Savior. Go have a Jesus-filled week. God bless you.